Across the country, some rental markets are booming. That's also true here in Iowa. This hour, what's driving the boom? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We'll talk with the author of a new study that reveals a lack of affordable rentals and homes for sale, and with the founder of House to Home. That's a company that makes home ownership accessible for people who don't qualify for bank financing. Are you a renter? What's it like to find a place to call home? Affordable housing for rent and for sale. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Across the country, some rental markets are booming. It's also true with some places here in Iowa due to construction projects, also a surge in growth in parts of the state. And this hour, we want to explore this and other housing trends to see the extent to which Iowa reflects the nation. We'd like to have you join our conversation as well. Are you a renter? What's it like trying to find a place to call home where you are situated in the state? Or do you own rental property? What's it been like for you? Is there a shortage or a surplus of rental property in your community? 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us, first of all, Maynard Porter. He's president of the Siouxland Rental Association, which counts more than 60 landlords as members. Maynard Porter, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be on something that I listen to.
All right. Wonderful that you listen out in the Siouxland.
Right.
Now, as you have a booming local economy out there, lots of construction projects. If I came to Sioux City or the Siouxland there today seeking some rental housing, what would I encounter? How difficult would it be?
Very difficult. You'd probably end up in a motel for at least a week, if not longer. You hopefully would have some friends or relatives here that you could kind of crash with for a while. I've been in the business since 1976 part-time, went full-time in 1982. And since that time, I have never seen the market like this. We actually have to, with my crews now, they are instructed to lock the doors anytime we're doing a remodeling or if somebody moves out, and, you know, we go in and we have to clean it, and, you know, we'll make sure that all the paint and everything is up to date. We actually have to lock the doors. Otherwise, we just spend an inordinate amount of time of trying to tell people we're not ready yet. Once it goes on the market, we'll be more than happy to show it to you. But, you know, our insurance doesn't cover you if you would slip and fall while we're in the process.
That's pretty incredible. So you're remodeling or even cleaning an apartment, and you're interrupted so often, or your crew is interrupted so often, that they can't get their work done.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And it's amazing how many friends my workers have now that are looking for places, and, you know, I mean, you know, try that contact or something like that, and we're giving out applications just right and left constantly, getting them in, you know, and holding them for folks when they, you know, in case we do have something available. Also, as president of the Landlords Association, I go out all the time with emails and just contacts with folks saying, okay, if you have anything, here's this family or that family. What's really sad is some of the social service agencies that used to call us quite regularly aren't even doing that anymore, just simply because we don't have anything to give them, you know, to show them. It's just, like I said, I've never seen the market like this.
I imagine you've received some desperate calls.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, what are some real life conditions that people are presenting you with?
Well, I had one where, as the this was a Somali family that had come over. They had all their papers in there. They're now working at Tyson across the river in Dakota City, Nebraska, Sioux City, Nebraska. And as the father and his friends were moving, it's a family into the one bedroom place. This is over the or July 1st. I went back on the July 5th, and there was a brand new baby girl there. I mean, you know, lady went in labor and had the child just, you know, right as they were in the process of moving in. You know, I don't, you know, they were in a motel. I have no idea, you know, what they would have done had, you know, had that happened then. We, you know, we have a lot of people where people are very, very desperate, you know, to, you know, for housing. And so you get a lot of different stories on, you know, I just really need it because, but this is one that, you know, I actually experienced.
Now tell us, speaking to the rest of the state who's not necessarily acquainted with what's been happening in the Sioux land, what's driving all of this need for housing?
Well, there's a number of things. We're redoing I-29, you know, our interstate that comes up here, so we have all those folks coming in for this you know, construction. Terra Chemicals, which was a big fertilizer company here in Sioux City, was bought out by CF Industries, and then CF Industries decided they were going to expand the fertilizer business here, and so they are putting up a $2 billion expansion onto their plant. You know, $2 billion means a lot of construction people. We've had people coming in for well over a year and a half now just trying to find places. I have some where I'll go over and, you know, we just leave applications with them. I'll collect the rent and they'll say, hey, I'm going to be done with my portion of the plant within the month. But I've got these friends that are coming in, and so I give them applications, and they fill them out, and you know, so the place never gets empty. You know, one worker trades off with another worker. We of course have to check them and approve them and everything. But I mean, we just, you know, they just don't have any other place to go, and then we're getting a lot of the folks that are going to be here for like a year and a half, 2 years, and they're saying, Maynard, you know, I'm in, you know, this two bedroom with another set of guys, but you know, I want to bring my family up from Hammond, Louisiana, or wherever, and you know, the family'd like to have a house or, you know, a larger apartment, and so, you know, we put them on waiting lists and you know, try to accommodate them that way.
How do you see the situation resolving itself?
Well,
when the pressure will be less pressure at some point.
I don't see it resolving itself really for about another year, year and a half. What's happening is, of course, with all of this going on, then we do have a lot of corporations that are coming into Sioux City, and they're starting to put up apartment buildings. We are getting that. The problem that you have with that is, you know, there's that lead time of getting these apartment buildings up and running, and these apartment buildings are going to be probably more toward the higher end of the folks that are doing the construction, okay, which makes you know, just doesn't help the gap that we now have with the people that are doing, you know, our $14 and $15 an hour people that are working in the different packing plants we have. We don't really have a lot of packing plants coming into Sioux City right now or operating here, but we do have one that's coming in that's going to be built. I mean, it's just bare ground right now, but they're going to be building it just on the north edge of our public airport. And that thing is going to be so large that they anticipate that they will be killing and processing 3 million hogs a year. You know, the thing is, we have the infrastructure here, both the railroad and the roads and all of the different places that would buy, you know, the butchered hogs and cut them up into little pieces, and also the storage, you know, the cold storage and stuff like that. All that infrastructure is already in place. From, you know, when John Morrell left about a year or two ago, we lost 1,400 jobs, and all of we landlords all thought, boy, we're going to take the hit now. We didn't see it.
Okay.
The workers were just absorbed into the other places and things like that. So there really wasn't any time where we had a lot of vacancies.
Maynard Porter, what has this done to rents? A desperate housing shortage.
Well, rents obviously are going up.
By how much?
That really depends. You're still market driven. And you still have Section 8, which is the federal subsidized rents, and they say you can only rent this place for, you know, for so much. But yes, rents are definitely going up. And the other thing that's also happening because of this is that people aren't moving because they've got no place to move to.
They want to stay locked in. They say, I've got a roof over my head. That's good enough for right now.
My rent is, and if I move into something comparable, it's going to be $50 more per bedroom, and so I'm just going to stay put. And so we don't have that turnaround. The other thing is that it used to be where if you put a, say somebody, for whatever reason, no longer needs a home, either, dad's dead, mom's going to a nursing home, the kids have the house, and they'll say, well, we'll rent it for, until we can get it sold or until we decide what we're going to do. That's not happening. The market is so tight now that those places are just snapped up immediately, so they never get into the rental market. Mm-hmm. Or with people that are, say, they're being transferred from Sioux City to some other place, they put their house on the market, and bam, it's gone.
Maynard Porter is with us. If you just joined us, he's president of the Siouxland Rental Association, which counts more than 60 landlords as its members, hearing about the desperate housing shortage in the Siouxland. Stay with us, Maynard. We want to have another person join us. We want to reach out to our listeners. What's it like trying to find a place to rent in your community? We're looking for the challenges that you've run into, either renting property or finding a place to rent, to live. 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Joining us as well, Jerry Anthony, Associate Professor of Urban Planning at the University of Iowa. The number of Iowans spending high percentages of their income on housing has grown significantly during the past 20 years. Jerry is one of the lead authors. A lead author, according to a new report released in June by the University of Iowa's Public Policy Center. Jerry Anthony, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here, Ben.
You're sitting there listening to the situation in the Siouxland.
Yeah.
I don't know the degree to which this overlaps with what you were looking at in this latest report.
Not so much, because what we were looking at, what happened, is what happened across the state between 1990 and 2010. And Maynard is talking about what's happening in the last couple of years. But it's really interesting to look to hear from him. The demand for housing is fast outpacing the supply of housing, and landlords are trying to respond to that. But I also wonder what developers are doing, as well as what the city government is doing in the area.
Well, let's ask Maynard Porter. What are they doing, Maynard?
Well, they are releasing or approving many of the apartment plans that the apartment houses have that are going to be going up. The one thing that Sioux City has never done very well, we have a huge stock of older homes. The city has never come to the landlords or to the property people, the property owners, and said, okay, you've got this house, and it's starting to look a little shabby. What can we do to help out? Normally what the city has done is they said, well, let's bring in this big corporation that'll put up a whole bunch of big places. We only have to deal with maybe one or two people in that entity, and we'll get this federal money, and that'll solve the problem. Well, it doesn't solve the problem. And that's one of the things that we've looked at. The other thing is that one of the problems that we've had for years in Sioux City is we've been a very property poor county. Our school district, I think, is one of the highest in the state as far as not being able to generate the income that they're now starting to generate, because we were so property poor. And what that did is that kept a lot of developers out. So you don't have a lot of 10, 15, 20-year-old apartment houses just simply because they weren't built here. You couldn't afford to build them there. Now they'll start bringing them in. But, you know, we don't have that good mix of what we need. The other thing is we aren't really trying to get with property, actual property owners now saying, okay, how can we improve your property? They don't meet with us. What they'll do is the city will tell us what programs they're going to go from the federal government or maybe what the state will be doing. And then we as landlords and or property owners try to adapt our programs to whatever's available rather than having some feedback from the actual owner saying, hey, you know, I've got this building that's a fourplex that I could really, you know, we could make it much better if we had money, that we could borrow at a lower term. Right now, I'm almost 70 years old. I'm ready to get out of the business. I've got all kinds of people that want to buy my properties. They can't get financing. You know, I mean, that's a very, very big problem. And that would actually help the rental properties simply by getting these things turned over, getting new blood, new money into the places, making certain that everything is up to date so that the city spends a lot less time going around making certain that everything is up to city code. And here in Sioux City, if a house is condemned, it's called being red tagged, where you put a red sticker on the front door and all of the apartments. And what they do is they scream, and the city council screams and hollers once something has been red tagged that the people aren't bringing it up to code, rather than saying let's be proactive in this and let's not let it get that far.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Anthony is with us, as well as Maynard Porter. You're listening to Maynard here. Describe the situation in the Siouxland and the Sioux City area. We'd like to have you join us. 1-866-780-9100. What's it like to rent in your community? What's it like to be a landlord in your community? 1-866-780-9100. Before we go to a call or two, Jerry Anthony, Associate Professor of Urban Planning at the University of Iowa, you're the lead author of this report that was released in June by the University of Iowa's Public Policy Center. What did you find in looking at the two decades of income devoted to housing?
Well, we looked at the percentage of population within each county that spends more than 30% of their income on housing. People or households that spend more than 30% of their income are deemed to be housing cost burdened, which means that they're paying too much as a share of the income for housing and therefore are compromising on other essential quality of life expenses. What we found was, in 1990, across the state, about 18.7% of the households, both owners and renters, were cost burdened, and that increased to 25.5% by 2010. So that's a huge jump. And the jump was particularly significant among renters. The amount of renters, the percentage of renters that are spending a large portion of their income on housing expenses increased very, very significantly from 1990 to 2010. In fact, in 1990, 33.5%, so just about a third of renters in the state were spending more than 30% of their income for housing. But by 2010, it had escalated to 40.3%. That's a huge jump. So that's what we found, that housing has become, across the board, less affordable for people.
Is that across Iowa when you look county by county, or is it certain regions more than others?
It's across – so the numbers that I have are – the numbers that I just shared with you are across the county, but you also have certain hotspots, if you will, where the increases have been higher. And two of the hotspots – in fact, the hotspot is Johnson County, where we are right now. Johnson County has – had the highest percentage of people that are housing cost burdened for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Johnson County, home to the University of Iowa, right. Iowa City, Coralville, uh-huh. North Liberty, and so forth, a high-growth area. A lot of investment, a lot of construction. If you go to Johnson County, you will definitely run into construction of one kind or another. I know there's lots of other things to go into you with, Jerry, but let's take a caller. Let's go to Jordan is with us from West Des Moines in this discussion. What's of interest to you, Jordan? What do you want to chip in?
Hi, I've been listening to your program actually just the past 5 minutes about five or 10 minutes about your situation with rentals in the Siouxland, and it made me think about my own rental situation. My new wife and I rent in West Des Moines, but I teach out in Western Iowa in Greenfield, and she and I are looking to move to Winterset, which is a halfway point between her job and mine. And I'm actually about to go apartment hunting right now because the rental houses that we're looking at down there are just way out of our price range. And we're not even looking for anything that's, you know, that's considered, you know, very new, you know, very chic, anything like that. We're just looking for a roof under our heads. But a roof under our heads is now constituting to be about 50% of my paycheck per month. And
wow.
Between that and student loans and, you know, bills for everything else, it's just not becoming feasible to find something that is, you know, we've wanted to rent a house rather than buy a house, at least until I can get more of my student loans paid off. And, you know, but we're looking at apartments now because those are more affordable for us, even though we'd much rather have a little bit more space.
Well, we wish you good luck, Jordan, in West Des Moines in finding some suitable housing at a reasonable price. You definitely, what did we say, housing burdened, Jerry Anthony, was 30% or more. If you're in the 50% or more category, Jordan, you are way more than just burdened.
You're extremely cost burdened.
Yeah, okay. In fact, you wouldn't even be eligible to get a place in Sioux City simply because there's no way you can live and survive under that, you know, under those conditions. You know, as a landlord, I'd say, you know, I'm sorry, you can't afford this place if you're going to be at that percentage, because all of us have life experiences where all of a sudden, bam, the car breaks down or this
right.
or that happens, and you've got to say, well, I've got to have the car to get to work.
So we've got about a minute or two before we have to go to break, and we'll say goodbye to you then, Maynard. So give some advice to Jordan in West Des Moines. You're up there in the Siouxland. What can he do in trying to find affordable housing for him and his family?
Well, there's one thing, you know, having got four kids that have gone through college, I can appreciate your situation, and having done the same thing myself. The one thing you may want to look at is to work something out with whoever your landlord is to try to see, you know, and this is very, very difficult to do. We run into it all the time where you're going to trade some work for some rent. The other thing is, you know, look at what your percentage of transportation is versus what your housing is. Try to find something in between. It may not be halfway. Check the roads because winters can be brutal, you know, but just stay extremely, extremely flexible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll give that leave you with that advice, Jordan, and wish you good luck there in West Des Moines.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about how rental markets are booming, why they are booming, not just in the Siouxland, but across. And we want to thank Maynard Porter for joining us. Maynard Porter, president of the Siouxland Rental Association, thank you for giving us your insights and a picture of what's happening there in the Siouxland.
Well, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much.
And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Jerry Anthony, associate professor of urban planning at the University of Iowa. Also, when we come back, we'll talk about a company, actually with the founder of a company called House to Home, a company that makes home ownership accessible for people who don't qualify for bank financing. That's when we come back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're talking today about rental housing in Iowa. Rental housing is booming across the country in some spots more than others. Oh, but there are also those spots here in Iowa. We just talked about the Siouxland in the first half hour, an extreme housing shortage. I was told that if I wanted to find a place to stay, to rent in the Siouxland area, I'd likely be staying in a motel or a hotel for at least a little while until I could find some housing. We want to hear your stories of rentals, whether you're a landlord renting property or someone seeking rental property. 1-866-780-9100. What's it like trying to find a place to call home in your community? 1-866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or put your experience in a few words on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. Jerry Anthony is with us, Associate Professor of Urban Planning at the University of Iowa, lead author of a report put out in June by the University of Iowa's Public Policy Center that shows Iowans spending high percentages of their income on housing, and that percentage that has grown significantly in the past 20 years. Jerry Anthony, let's follow up with that. So how does Iowa, when you look at the findings of your study over this two-decade period, ending in 2010, I guess, was the final year. Is that right?
Right.
How does Iowa then compare with the rest of the country?
Well, with the rest of the country, in terms of the percentage of population that is cost-burdened, Iowa compares very favorably. In the United States, for instance, in 1990, 27.3% of the households were cost-burdened, whereas in Iowa, it was only 19.4%. So we lag behind the U.S. average, which is good. Likewise, in 2010, 36% of the U.S. population was housing cost burdened, whereas in Iowa, it was only about 25.6%. So compared to the U.S., we are doing very well. But over this period of time, 1990 to 2010, like the rest of the nation, the percentage of population that is paying too much for housing has gone up, and that's cause for concern.
Let's talk. We talked about the Siouxland. Let's talk about the three universities have significant communities. They have a very different picture in terms of rental properties, landlords in these communities, and those renting know that. How are they, generally speaking, different for both parties, renters and landlords?
Well, demand for housing is there's a different kind of demand for housing in college communities. There's lots of students coming in, but also college communities are vibrant places for economic growth. Iowa City, Johnson County particularly, has seen phenomenal amount of economic growth in the last few years. And quite often, supply of housing lags behind the need for housing. So you have, when you have economic growth, you always have that shortfalls, huge shortfalls that come in. Some of it caused by economic development with lots of people moving in. Some of it caused by expansion in the university itself with lots of students coming in. So if you look at statewide trends, Johnson County has the highest proportion of people that are housing cost burdened among all 99 counties in the state.
And once again, we defined that in the first half hour. Housing cost burdened is more than 30% or more of your income going to pay for housing.
Exactly. So whether it's ownership housing or rental housing, if it's rental housing, it's your rent and utilities and your association fees or something if you have. And for ownership housing, it's your principal, interest, property taxes. Insurance, insurance costs. Yeah.
What is Johnson County or the city government doing in Johnson County to help remedy this?
Well, Johnson County is particularly Iowa City has been very upfront about this. They have they have known that they have a housing problem. They are trying to put in place numerous policies that increase the supply of housing. There are developers, both for-profit and non-profit developers that are active in this area. Several years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, a new organization called the Housing Trust Fund of Johnson County was founded in Johnson County that brings in a new supply of funding for low-income housing, construction of ownership and rental low-income housing. So lots of good things are happening. The one major thing that has been sort of not paid adequate attention to is, I think, the issue of student housing. For a long time, students have been left to fend for themselves in the market, and they have done very well outcompeting young entrants to the labor market.
Well, let's talk about that, because we had earlier this summer a successful lawsuit by tenants against – it's called Apartments Downtown in Iowa City, owned by James Clark and his family, ruled against him on July 8th. The Johnson County District Judge granted a summary judgment against Apartments Downtown, ruling that – a lease that Apartments Downtown used from 2010 through 2014 had several illegal provisions, including charging tenants for automatic carpet cleaning, fining tenants for damage to hallways and stairways outside of their apartments, requiring tenants to go to unreasonable lengths to clean their apartments. So I guess this speaks also to the renters, obviously in student communities, they're students, and we
we're probably at one time students in our lives,
exactly.
So we can remember that time.
Yeah.
Students as a group don't tend to keep track of their expenses. They don't tend to even know when they're charged by fees. You call that wisdom when we get older, right?
Yeah, right.
And you say, where are all those dollars going? And then you look at the fine print and find out. So this is a group that, if I'm reading this judgment right, has been taken advantage of.
Exactly. Looks like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
1-866-780-9100 if you are a renter or you rent property. Share your experience of what it's like in your community. Let's talk with Daniel Tardy. Daniel Tardy is CEO and founder of House to Home. It's a special sort of company. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Tell us, what is House to Home? How does it work?
Yes, House to Home was founded in 2009-2010 timeframe. Originally, when I began to invest in real estate, I didn't really know exactly how I wanted to contribute. I knew I wanted to serve a section of the population that essentially needed help with any sort of ownership.
This is specifically the Iowa City area?
Yeah, Cedar Rapids, Marion, Iowa City. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm, we're in Anamosa, Mana. So originally, the goal was just to be of some sort of service. I began to rehabilitate homes. I bought my first home in 2010, and it went through a substantial remodel. And we were talking $30,000, $40,000 worth of work. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the creative process, the unfolding, the visionary aspects of it. You really had to see forth a plan. And by the time you're done with a project that size, you kind of want it to go to someone who really is deserving of it. I didn't want to rent it out because I felt that, there's a higher potential that a renter may do damage and may not really recognize the value that's there, which led me into serving a population that needed more long-term housing solutions. And that's how you come in contact with it's commonly referred to as rent-to-own. I don't like to use that term. I like to use lease purchase or lease option. That's the technical term for it. Or contract for deed. These are alternatives to bank financing. You have a buyer that, let's say, for one reason or another, they walk into a bank and they don't qualify for bank financing because of, let's say, they've gone through a divorce or they've lost a home through foreclosure or bankruptcy. It could be a self-employed person who on their taxes, maybe they don't claim quite what they really make. So a bank would look at them as higher risk. These are the types of people I work with every day and try to match them with remodeled homes. Mm-hmm.
When they were turned down for bank financing, how do you make that possible? How do you see them as an acceptable risk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we tend to be a little more lenient when it comes to credit. I see people as especially when they turn in an application, let's say they have a credit score of 600. I have a belief that that person is moving in a positive direction, based on other things. You look at are they saving money? Do they have established jobs? Have they, graduated school and entered into a new field? And maybe they're just working to become established, or they're reworking what maybe they were established at another point and now they're kind of revamping their life.
So you are, in contrast to a bank, looking at them in more detail or in a different direction or a different perspective on them?
We still utilize some of the same details. We still run credit. We do background checks. If it's a self-employed person, we look at tax returns. We look at, W-2s. We look at income statements, financial statements, things of that nature. But a bank may cut someone off at, say, even the most, the institutions, the mortgage lenders that accept higher risk, they may cut a person off at like a 640, where a lot of people that I'm helping maybe fall below that, or they could fall above that. So it really is done on a case by case basis. I'm working with a person now that, let's say they had, I think they had around $10,000 to put down, but they were just starting their new career. And the wife is just about to graduate school, I think, in the next month. So if they were to walk into a bank and try to get a loan, they're not established enough for that bank institution.
But you see the potential.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I can directly reach out to that person's hiring manager and speak directly about that person. You know, why are you hiring this person? Is this a long-term position? You know, is this something that has a potential for an upside income in terms of income and things of that nature? So, I do dive a little bit deeper. It becomes more personal for me. Where a bank is, they're dependent upon the numbers. If the numbers don't crunch, then, you know, from a business aspect, I understand that they usually have to turn people away.
Daniel Tardy is with us, CEO and founder of House to Home. How many families, how many people have you helped to find home ownership since, what did you say, 2010?
Yeah, I'd say 20 to 30 families since then.
Very good.
Yeah.
One of those is Megan Matthews of Iowa City. She's in our Iowa City studio. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
I understand you were able to purchase a house through House to Home?
Yes, I did.
And was it also the case with you that you went to a bank and they turned down your financing?
Yeah, you know, I bought my first house 10 years ago and had no trouble getting bank financing. I walked in, showed him my income, which was one-third of what I'm making now. First-time homeowner, and I qualified no problem. But at that point, I also had a slightly higher credit score and wasn't working for myself.
Okay. And so how did you find Daniel and his company?
Daniel's company just stood out because he helps so many people in such a unique way. And as somebody who has a background in social work and social justice, I liked what he did for people and that he saw home ownership as a social justice issue and a way to build stability for people, for their children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Daniel, this is important for you. It sounds like, I mean, you could have done this. You talked about that first house. You could have gone in and flipped homes, made a nice profit, walked away from it, and on to the next house or whatever. So why didn't you go that route?
For me, it didn't translate into, inside it. You know, I kind of go by my gut on a lot of things, and it just didn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same to even when we finish a house. We often get approached by traditional buyers that want to buy our homes, and it's great that other people are interested, but you know, I have to follow my mission, which is, again, like Megan mentioned, to provide stability, provide really unique homes to unique people in unique situations. It really came down to, you know, how much of a service do I want to offer to people? Do I want to just, you know, be a landlord and, you know, have people kind of ebb and flow, go and come? I didn't want that. I knew that there was going to be a higher appreciation value from a contract buyer, someone that, one, doesn't have an opportunity at all for home ownership. They usually are kind of talk themselves into their only option being renting. And so I usually have to unwire people's brains and say, no, that's not your only option. We can actually sit down and look at your profile and see if we can match you with a home that would financially be a better investment for you versus spending your dollars on renting.
Do clients like Megan have a hand in or some input into the remodeling? Megan, for instance, you're nodding your head yes. Did you have a hand in how you'd like the house to look inside and out?
Well, I don't know how unique this is anymore to your business because I know it's evolved, but I actually picked out my house. And so I said that I want to find a house in Iowa City and I have these specific factors I'm looking for. I don't need to leave my current house, but I would like to have more space, have a house that could be an investment that I could put work into. And so in that case, it was really nice. I looked around, Daniel came with me, and I found a place that I liked, and he helped to advocate in terms of an offer price, because that's not something someone like me does every day. I did it once.
Okay, so you're working with sellers, real estate agents, and you are thoroughly versed in negotiating and understand how the wheels turn.
I'm like a professional home buyer. I love that process. I love to negotiate. And you really have to go into a house knowing what it needs, as well as the current market value versus the reality of its current market value, as well as its future value. So Megan, I don't know if you want to get into numbers, but she, you know, we were able to get quite, you know, quite the accepted offer on our house just by being a little bit aggressive, knowing that that home had been on the market for quite some time, and also knowing that there were new developments in her neighborhood that would drive that price up. So I won't tell any of her numbers, but she got a great deal. And a lot of times those savings or those numbers work in the buyer's favor. If I can get a lower price, then that truly does translate to their dollars as well.
Daniel Tardy is with us, CEO and founder of House to Home, and a happy home buyer through House to Home with us as well, Megan Matthews of Iowa City. Let's get some reaction. Also with us, if you just joined us, Jerry Anthony, Associate Professor of Urban Planning at the University of Iowa. Get some reaction to, first of all, Jerry, quickly before we do get to a call or a tweet here, Megan mentioned that she qualified earlier with a much lower income. Mm-hmm. So that of course, we went through a housing crisis in the meantime. How much is that a contributing factor to the number of renters we have across the country increasing as it has?
I think it has contributed quite a bit because lots of people lost homes to foreclosure, not so much in Iowa, but across the nation. And so those people are being increasingly disqualified by bankers who have, by and large, tightened their underwriting criteria and reject more people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it has had a significant impact. The other thing that Megan mentioned was she was employed then and now was a self-employed person, and that affects your score in bank underwriting criteria. If you're self-employed
– self-employed, you're on a lower tier.
You're on a lower tier. Mm-hmm. And banks have tightened up their scores quite a bit. So therefore, it's become very difficult for people to qualify now for home ownership, for home mortgage loans.
Here's a tweet from Sarah in Iowa City listening to our program. I'm seeing scads of new apartments going up in Iowa City, but as a small grad student family, finding something affordable is difficult. We consider ourselves long-term townies, but can't yet afford to buy a house. The market's dominated by tiny temporary student apartments.
And that is true, but also it is also dominated by supply that is catering to the upper middle class, the upper end of the market.
There's plenty of supply in the luxury end.
Exactly. Vacancy rates are very high at the luxury end. But at the end that people, the lower or middle end where people entering the labor market need, there is very little supply. Mm-hmm. So across the state, for people who are low income, for every 100 households, there are only 87 houses that are available. And new supply is increasingly to the upper end. So not only is the gap existing, the gap is not being bridged, but is actually widening.
Let's go to Jake in Lakota, Iowa. Jake, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
So I understand you moved recently to Iowa from where?
I was living in the Twin Cities. I grew up in the suburbs, actually in Wisconsin, and I had been renting for 10 years, and it's just so hard to get ahead. I mean, I had school loans and credit cards and everything, you know, getting behind on those and just not being able to afford anything anymore. Found a house in Iowa here that was pretty cheap, and I was able to cash out my 401k and pay for the whole house.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a means to support yourself too, I suppose.
Yep. I found a job within 20 minutes of where I'm living now, and I'm making just as much as I was up in the cities where I am now, and I don't have nearly as many bills anymore. So.
Well, we're glad, Jake, to have you in our state moving here. Thanks for your housing-related story.
Yep. I was just wondering if you've been seeing a lot of that in the rural areas, people moving out to the rural areas more because of the affordability of the housing, because I've seen a lot of affordable houses in the area, I guess.
Mm, good question, and we'll put that to Jerry Anthony.
And you see that especially in these big metropolitan areas. So in Johnson County, Iowa City, housing costs are so high, people just can't afford to buy or even rent a house here. So they would be living in outlying rural communities across county lines and commuting 45 minutes to an hour to work. You see that quite a bit. And unfortunately, that's not very good for the families. It's not very good for the economy, because when families are commuting an hour each way, or husbands or wives are commuting an hour each way, they're spending a lot of time just commuting, spending a lot of money just commuting. And for young families, there's lots of concerns. Imagine a single mother living 1 hour away from her home, living 1 hour away from her work. She commutes to work, and if her daughter or son falls sick, she's got problems. She's not near where she needs to be. So mm-hmm. that increases absenteeism, increases job turnover, and therefore it's not very good for the economy overall.
We have about a minute left. Jerry Anthony, I'd like to get your view as an urban planner. studies these things. What's the future out there? Does this rental boom continue? We'll have fewer people renting, more people renting, fewer people owning homes in this country and in Iowa?
I think the historic highs of homeownership are past us. I think going forward, people are going to be more cautious about owning a home. And I think that's perhaps appropriate.
No longer part of the American dream to own your home?
Well, it is part of the American dream, but it's not for everyone at every point in time. I think people have to be much more judicious as to when they buy a home, if they buy a home. Because what the economy has shown, the housing market downturn has shown that unless you're very stable financially and can withstand the shock of maybe losing an income for a year, you probably shouldn't get into the homeownership market. So I don't think we'll have the 69-70% homeownership rate that we had in 2006-2007, but I think we'll revert back to the about 65-66%, which is a very good number. And I think that with that, two-thirds of the population still will have access to the American dream.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry Anthony, Associate Professor of Urban and Regional Planning at the University of Iowa. Thank you also for coming in, Daniel Tardy.
Absolutely.
Of House to Home, and Megan Matthews. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We always welcome your comments and questions about our program. Contact us anytime. Perhaps you have an idea of what we can devote an hour of conversation to. Write us at this email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.